crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
What a nice way to start off the show.
Oh, the sweet laughter of the Stephanie.
The sweet laughter in the studio of the Pork Therapy. We're having a grand old time tonight, Mike.
Right? And you're about to as well.
Yes, indeed. You are in for a treat tonight, listeners, because we have a wonderful show planned for you.
Actually, we don't even have a question this time, just a topic that Stephanie wanted to discuss.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic because it relates to something that one of the central themes of our show, I would say, which is effective communication.
Yeah, right? Actually, this particular topic is very much to do with communication and liberty.
Yes, indeed. So that's why I said it was a super cool topic.
Yes.
Yes. And
the fact that you said super cool, boy, that's pretty geeky.
I just like Steve Urkelized it. I think I just majorly screwed that one up.
No, Urkel is cool eventually.
Did I do that?
Nice.
I remember him. I used to watch him so fondly. The memories. Yeah.
Okay.
Mike.
So what is this Urkelized topic?
I don't know, but you know, we should mention before we get into it, if you have a question or a topic that you want us to talk about, you should email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Even cooler would be if you called our phone line at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
And make sure to start off your question with,
Yeah. If you give us your question in an Urkel voice, that'd be awesome.
Yes. I was going to say you'll win a prize, but we don't have anything to give you because we're poor, so.
You'll win honor.
Yes. You will have.
Tell you what, if you donate to us, we won't be poor, and then we'll give you a prize.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll recycle your money right back into your own pockets. But only if you take out your pocket protector, because then there's going to be no room. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, Mike.
What are we talking about?
Just terrible.
But how unusual.
Yeah, how unusual. Okay. So the topic at hand is something that I've been thinking about quite a bit lately. And this comes up a lot on the show Free Talk Live, which is talk radio from a liberty perspective. As we say, we are relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Well,
they
don't talk about relationships. They are
another
show about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, literally about anything. And it's a very cool show. And you can also hear them on the Liberty Radio Network, where you can hear us.
Yes, exactly. We are Liberty Radio Network sisters or brothers or whatever you want.
Siblings.
Yes. Children of Liberty. This comes up a lot on Free Talk Live. And it's the subject of words, the meaning of words, and emotionally laden terms in communicating about liberty. And I'll explain a little bit more what I mean about that. A lot of us here in New Hampshire, we moved here for the Free State Project, right, Mike?
Yep. freestateproject.org. Check it out. It basically, if you love liberty, move to a place where there's lots of liberty-loving people.
Yeah.
So that's why we moved here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, like, I feel like moving to New Hampshire and being with all these cool people and getting active for freedom is the best decision I've made in my life. I've been so rewarded by it. And the Free State Project hasn't even gotten off the ground yet. I mean,
yeah.
There's not even, we have about 11,000 signers, something like that.
And about 1,000 people live here.
With a goal of 20,000. Yeah. About 1,000 people live here. But already, I mean, there have been like just these dramatic changes in culture and the fact that I can go out at any time I have a free weekend and I want to hang out with like-minded people, like there are too many cool people to hang out with.
Yeah, and you
I feel like I just can't even get to know all the people I want.
And you work for a living and only go out on weekends. I go out every day of the week and there's still always things going on.
Well, you actually work with some Free State. I mean, there are business relationships forming.
Yes.
There are personal relationships. There people dating each other. There are people going into doing projects and activism together.
Yep, there's just tons of media.
So many
TV shows, radio, blogs, movies, documentaries, newspapers, comics, more, I'm
and
sure.
And more.
Yeah.
And something
Ridley's writing a book and something more.
He's writing a book? That's cool. Yeah, I had no idea.
Tons of media happening up here.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just indescribable. I mean, it's so exciting. Get up here. I mean, if you're on the fence, come visit for Porkfest or Liberty Forum and meet some of these cool people. You'll just never want to leave. I can pretty much guarantee it. That's how I felt anyway.
So anyway, we're liberty activists.
After that long infomercial, yes, we're liberty activists. And, you know, there are people here. The Free State Project is kind of what I would describe as a big tent, right? It's got this statement of intent, right? Or
yes.
The Free State Project statement of intent or mm-hmm. or what? I'm not sure if that's the right name for it, but it's got some kind of mission statement, and it says, you know, I pledge, you know, if you want to sign up for it, you say I pledge to move to New Hampshire if 20,000 other people do the same thing, and when I get there, I will exert my fullest practical effort towards the creation of a society where the maximum role of government is the protection of life, liberty, and happiness, right?
Right.
Something like
maximum
that.
Role. So that's...
So that that statement is carefully crafted to include people who believe in a, you know, there should be a minimal state, minarchists, we like to call them, and people that believe there should be no state at all. And in fact, some people have said, you know, let's call it the No State Project.
Yeah.
I actually really like that idea, but as I said a little while ago, I like to think of free state as like a free state of mind, not as like a free landmass encompassed by
yes.
geographical arbitrary borders. So, and Mike just pulled up the Free State Project Statement of Intent. I hereby state my solemn intent to move to the state of New Hampshire. Once there, I will exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of life, liberty, and property.
That is the only part of the Free State Project.
Yeah.
If you basically swear that, if you affirm that, you're part of the Free State Project. That means once a certain goal is met and you can actually decide the goal, you'll move to New Hampshire and work towards the maximum role of government being the protection of life, liberty, and property. Whatever that means to you. And once you're here, you're done. There is no Free State Project. You do whatever you want. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does this have to do with our topic tonight?
In a very roundabout way, you know, I was trying to kind of get at this, the fact that the Free State Project includes both minarchists and people who believe that there should be no state.
Yes.
And what to call those people. Those are the people that I would say I spend the most time with, right? Or people who...
Me too.
Who have... who are, you know, completely consistent about the fact that they want no state, you know, and I would describe them as anarchists.
Well, if you ask any one of them, they'll give you two different answers because there's so many words that people are using. And that's the point of this episode.
Yeah. That's what we wanted to talk about. I mean, there are a lot of people who say, you know, anarchist should be basically a four letter word. You know, you should never say that word because when people hear it, people who aren't familiar with the liberty movement, aren't familiar with what we stand for, namely the fact that we're all very peaceful and we totally eschew violence in any
yes.
form and completely shun that out of our lives. We're peaceful people. We want to create a peaceful evolution towards a more freer society, a voluntary society, as we like to say on our show. But people who don't necessarily know that hear the word anarchist and probably think of the popular connotation, which is a
1980s punk in a leather jacket with a mohawk throwing a Molotov cocktail at the government building.
Right. Violent, not property rights respecting, usually kind of young and like maybe emotionally disturbed, which I think is not absolutely 180 degrees the opposite of what I see among the people here who call themselves anarchists. I mean, they're peaceful. They respect property rights. They've got their stuff together. They've got their emotional, you know, stuff in line. I mean,
And finally, 10 minutes into the episode, we have the crux of the issue, which is, what does anarchist mean?
Right? Yeah, what does anarchist mean? And, like, What term is appropriate to use for someone who believes in no state,
okay.
or you know, someone who wants a completely voluntary society with no state?
Okay, well, it's interesting that you use the word voluntary there, because currently a lot of the people like myself prefer the term voluntarist or voluntarist,
right?
Because it's a newish word. It's a word relatively recently invented, so it hasn't been stolen yet. It hasn't been perverted by
yet.
Movies and culture to mean something that it's not, like anarchy.
Yes.
Now, anarchy, for those of you listening who don't know, means no rulers. It doesn't mean no rules. It doesn't mean violence. It doesn't mean I hate everything. It doesn't mean I must destroy. Yes. It means no rulers.
Yes. And I think most of the people that would call themselves anarchists here, as we were
saying
before, trying to debunk these popular notions of anarchy, most of these people definitely do believe in rules. They believe in private property.
Yeah, personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility and self-government.
Yep.
And making voluntary agreements with other people that may or may not, you know, govern your behavior.
Right. But you've voluntarily made the agreements.
Yes, exactly.
However,
you can opt out. You can choose to opt in.
But these people that we're talking about are all essentially liberty activists who have thought about the word and know it. What about the media? What if the media gets hold of an agreement and says, two anarchists traded the other day? People are going to think, typically, there's the bomb-throwing...
Molotov cocktails.
Yes, yeah. So is it appropriate to use the term anarchism? Is that what you're asking? Is that what we're wondering?
Yeah, I guess that is kind of what I'm wondering. I mean, I'm asking about anarchism, but it also applies to other terms. What about anarcho-capitalist? That's a really loaded term. Most people misunderstand.
Or even just capitalism nowadays.
Yeah, capitalism, exactly.
So I don't want to get in this episode to what I think it means and what it used to mean and et cetera. Just the point is, this is true with most words, right?
Well, there are a lot of loaded terms, even libertarian.
Yes.
That has connotations too. Yep. So a lot of people hear libertarian now and they think of Libertarian Party or Bob Barr.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's more common, I think, for people to think of that, like the Libertarian Party kind of stuff, than it is for people to think of even civil libertarian. You know, that like civil libertarian is a common phrase. And when people hear that, they think ACLU, like, you know, against TSA searches, against Fourth Amendment stuff. They think of those kind of things, civil liberties. But they don't associate that term libertarian, which is part of civil libertarian, with, you know, economic liberties or other aspects of liberty besides just freedom from searches and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know where we're going with this discussion, though. I mean, this is all true, but what is your opinion of this?
Well, okay, let's take those three words. Anarchist, capitalism,
and
libertarian.
Okay.
Do you think that...
Yes, I do.
Do you think that... do you think that those words are appropriate to use as descriptors for someone like us? And would you personally use those words when describing yourself or trying to communicate with the general public about liberty activism?
See, the general public, when communicating with the general public, I think that's key, is know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
So as long, or maybe not even know your audience, although that's important, but communicate with your audience. As long as the people involved in the conversation all agree on definitions, it doesn't matter if I call myself a Schmorgenbleichen. As long as we all know what that means. Now, that's not very effective. If I make up sounds to describe myself with each new conversation, then I'll have to define it and ask them if they understand. And what do you think I just said? Yes, okay, we finally agree. Now we can continue with Smorgenbleigens.
That's language, yeah.
That's language, right. But it's much more efficient to use the same word each time, labels.
Yeah.
And so that's when you, like anarchism, I used to go by an anarchy. I used to call myself an anarchist. And I stopped because of essentially what you're talking about. Most people think that word implies meanness and violence, even if they understand, which most don't, that it also involves no rulers. Okay?
Right.
And I don't associate with those, so I don't want to be associated with those.
Uh-huh. So you don't call yourself an anarchist?
I don't.
Do you call yourself an anarchist with your friends? Or also anarchists?
not really. It depends. I mean, again, it depends. If certain friends, we've already had this discussion, so we both know what we're talking about. And if I say, and if for those friends, I've already explained my definition of anarchism, and they agreed, or they explained and I agreed, and then yes, I'll use it. But what's the point?
Well, I'm going to stick up in defense of the word anarchist.
Okay.
Anarchist. It's technically correct.
Yes, I agree with you.
Anarchy, no rulers.
Yes, it's technically correct, but that's not what language is. It's ironic that, because I used to be a, I think there's a word for this, but when you were very specific in how you use language and you always want it to be technically correct and you change your words and whatever, and I've switched my thinking because language evolves. And so a word like perhaps anarchy tends to mean other, you know, something different now than it did 50 years ago than it, and in another 100 years, it may mean something different again, simply because people misuse it or or intentionally use it to mean something else and it catches on or whatever. And so I'm okay with the fact that language evolves. I think it's sad that it's used to control people and instigate fear.
Well, that's precisely the thing. It's
But how can you stop that? How can you stop 50 million people out of, say, 300 million people, you know, reading a newspaper that misuses the word anarchism?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even if you created your own newspaper, you don't have 50 million readers, so you really can't control the masses. And if the masses want to misuse a word, well, that sucks, but I'll use a different word.
Well, okay, 2 points about that. How long can you keep redefining yourself? Every time you start to use a different word, voluntarist, and next it's going to be elephantist, or next it's going to be, you know, whatever.
Right.
Next it's going to be schnorgenflagen. Like,
yes.
I kind of feel like I shouldn't have to keep, because the statists are co-opting the definition of what I am, which is an anarchist.
Well, I agree with both of those.
Why should I have to be responsible for rebranding and relabeling myself?
Well, I agree, but in the last episode, which is a totally different topic, you said sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a silly example, but if every single person on Earth who spoke English suddenly decided for some reason that Stephanie was a man's name, would you change it? Yeah, you know, you'd be stuck with a man's name.
Who cares? I don't
care. Then why do you care what they think of anarchism?
Well, I don't. That's why I use the term.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think it's correct. I think
it is correct.
I like that word.
But does that mean you're going to have to explain it every time and define it? Because let's say you had a press conference for, I don't know, some activism you did. You were held a sign outside of an IRS office or something. I'm not saying you do this, but...
Yep.
And then the media come up and say, why are you doing this? Are you going to say, because I'm an anarchist? Or are you going to explain what an anarchist technically correctly is?
I probably would use the explanation in that instance and not the word. Because, like you said before, Mike, you're right. I agree with you. It's know your audience.
Right.
You know, it's the people who are going to be reading that newspaper article. And newspapers, by the way,
get
so much wrong. And they're also, they take quotes out of context.
Oh, yeah.
And they're also usually most... you know, read by the oldest people in society and the most set in their ways, kind of dogmatic people. And so really, like, you have to be extremely clear and say something that basically nobody could disagree with if you're giving an interview to a newspaper.
Okay.
But if I'm, you know, if one of my friends asks me, you know, why are you doing this? You know, why are you handing out this information or why are you doing this protest or whatever? That's a good question. I mean, I probably wouldn't have to explain myself because the friend already knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So I don't even need to use the term anarchist. Right.
Now, what if it's a great friend you used to have in high school, but you haven't talked to in a while, and they find you on Facebook or something and say, yeah. why are you holding a sign outside the IRS office? Are you going to use the word anarchism with them? You haven't talked
not.
To them in 10 years or whatever.
Probably not. I would probably ask them a question about how they feel about paying taxes, or, you know, try to feel them out, see where they're coming from.
Or if you wanted to be very as concise as possible, you would probably explain what anarchism meant without using the word, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think, for example, you know, on, I've written many different pieces of propaganda.
Right.
What I would call propaganda, right?
Essays.
And, not just essays, but like about sections on websites and flyers and things like that. And often I'll say, I'll use the phrase stuff like, you know, like we want to evolve into a voluntary society or something like that, or we want to peacefully transition into a voluntary society or something, you know, something like that. And yes, it's more words. The advantage of labels is that they convey a message very concisely.
Yes.
But the disadvantage of labels is that they often convey it wrong and very concisely.
Right. Or at least, even if they don't convey it wrong, can be misinterpreted very easily because it's so concise.
Right. So I guess you're right, Mike. If I'm really trying to be very, very clear And especially if I'm talking to someone who isn't familiar with what I'm saying, I will tend to be verbose rather than using the label.
Now, let's say you were giving a presentation to an audience who chose to be there, like it's an elective and all these people wanted to hear what you had to say.
Yeah.
And the topic was something to the effect of why I'm an activist or how you can get more liberty in your life.
Yep.
You might choose to use anarchism there. You know, you might choose to come out and say, hi, I'm Stephanie and I'm an anarchist for the shock value, right? So, because all these people who don't understand it might say, what am I listening to? And explain it.
Yeah, well, hey, she doesn't look like an anarchist. She's, you know, she's totally clean cut and looks like,
So here I think what we're talking about here is, originally you asked, is this word good to use when describing yourself or as a descriptor? And now not only does it depend on your audience, but it depends on your purpose.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. I guess, part of what inspired this discussion is that, how can I put this tactfully? Like sometimes, sometimes it seems like people almost go to ridiculous lengths, like constantly inventing these different words so that they won't have to say anarchist when what they mean is anarchist.
I understand. And I agree with you. I think it's sad that people misuse words because they don't think about it or because they're trained to in indoctrination centers or whatever.
Yeah.
And anarchist really is a very concise, true, accurate label. I don't want any rulers. However, so many people misuse it that, okay, I'll use another word, but you're right again. If they start to steal the concept of voluntarist, which is one I like,
then what are they going to call themselves then?
Yeah. Well, am I going to invent another word? Or I probably am because I don't feel like I'm being chased away from words. I feel like language is evolving and I want a concise way to describe myself, so I'll come up with a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of one of those sad truths things.
Yeah. I think I might be having sort of an emotional attachment too. Like I like
to anarchists?
I like to say I'm an anarchist. I love to say that. I don't know.
There's probably still opportunity for you to do that. I'm guessing what you like is the shock value or the
maybe. Yeah. I'm not really sure, but yeah.
There's probably still opportunity for that.
I think, I don't know.
Does your mom listen to the show?
I don't know. But I keep coming back to the fact that it's correct.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just clinging to the old use of words or I'm not like being fluid enough with language. But I think to a certain extent, if language becomes too fluid, then it's not language anymore. It's like words have meaning for a reason.
But that's true. But what is too fluid?
I don't know. It's arbitrary. You're right.
So, how long has it taken the word anarchist to evolve and
to take on the connotation of negative or whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know the history and I'm not that old. So I haven't been around to like see it, watch it evolve.
Right. I wish I could think of more examples of words that in our lifetime have changed their meaning, but I can't think of something off the top of my head.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think there definitely are words that have changed their meaning in our lifetime. And there are new words that come into being all the time. I mean, look at the rise. Okay, here's an example. Look at the rise of the length. I don't know what it's called. There actually is a name for it, but like the language that people use when they're writing text messages and IMs.
The length? Is that what you said?
No, the language.
Yes. Oh, like, my gosh.
LOL, smiley face.
Yeah, lols.
I mean, there's
this is to win.
Yeah, this is to sucks.
I hate it, by the way. I hate text language or email language, but it's probably going to become, within the next 5-10 years or so, it's probably going to become such the norm that it'll be accepted in school papers, would be my guess. That's not saying much because government runs schools and schools suck, but
schoolsucksproject.org or .com, schoolsucksproject.com, but for more about that. But okay, here's another example I just thought of. When I wrote emails, I used to sign every email and wrote like, hi, Mike, comma, space, you know, next line, blah, 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 let's record pork therapy tonight from Stephanie.
Yeah.
I used to write it like a letter, but it's not a letter. It's an email. And I've seen over the last couple of years, a lot of people, to save time, stop doing the greeting and the sign at the bottom, you know?
I've seen it too. And you know what? I actually made a change recently of almost the opposite. I always used to, I still always start an email with the name of the person I'm talking to, even though it's incredibly obvious and we're having a back-to-back conversation and we're quoting each other and there's only one person I'm talking to. I still say, Stephanie, and then start my email.
Yeah.
But here's what I've changed. I used to sign every email dash me. Like, from me.
You don't, you stopped doing that?
I stopped doing that just a few days ago. And I've done this for like 15 years or something like that.
Mike's evolving his
language. And what I thought, you know, it's cute and all, but I think I'll just say Mike. So I just changed me to Mike. So I became more formal instead of less. Interesting.
It is interesting. Yes, indeed. So I don't know. I kind of just feel like I almost feel offended. I feel like no matter what term we use for people, for ourselves, who, you know, want to dramatically reduce or eliminate the size and scope of government,
mm-hmm.
right? Free staters, whatever. People who don't like that idea are going to attack the word, right? So why should we bother changing the word?
Well, first, clarity. So if you're talking to an audience and you say anarchist and you mean, I'm a peaceful person who doesn't want rulers, and the audience is thinking, ooh, they said anarchists. They're the kind of people who is going to blow up a building if they don't get what they want. Yeah. Even if no one says anything, you're not being clear.
Right.
So that's one reason, clarity. Another reason to you know, worry about the word would be, I guess it's the same reason, and that is communication. Yeah, that's the same reason. I'm thinking to get your point across, mm-hmm. but I guess that's the same reason. I don't know.
I don't know either, Mike. Well, this has been a very entertaining discussion. Did you pulled up a Wikipedia article on
anarchism
etymology and terminology.
Yeah, I was trying to find the origin of the use of the word anarchism.
I think I know who edited this Wikipedia article, but
really?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's fascinating. Since the 1890s from France, the term libertarianism has often been used as a synonym for anarchism. And was used almost exclusively in the sense until the 50s in the United States.
Huh.
So we're not talking about anarchism. We're talking about the word libertarianism here.
Yeah.
But it used to be a synonym for anarchism. And now it's absolutely not.
Hmm.
I guess it would be a synonym for minarchism. Small government people, not no government people. So and that's just in 60 years that in the United States, that word has changed meaning.
Yeah, it kind of depends on who you ask, too. Because
sure.
some people say, well, libertarian doesn't connote anarchist or minarchist. It just connotes either one of those.
Yeah, and then there's people who differentiate between capital L libertarianism and lower L libertarianism.
Oh, right, like libertarian party versus
yes.
philosophy. Yeah, there are people who do that with objectivism, too, with capital O and...
I've never heard of that, but I can see it because...
Oh, it's,
yeah,
cause
it's I think
world. I mean, you're right, Mike. Like, I don't really get the whole uppercase versus lowercase O in the objectivism thing. And so, to me, I see that, and it wouldn't be effectively communicating a message to me if you said something about a big O objectivist, and
right.
I was like, what
the
hell
are you
talking about?
What does that mean? You'd have to explain it. That's a good way to look at this from the other side.
Yeah. It's very hard for me to step out of that and look at it from the other side because I'm like, well, I can't.
You know, I'm very, very familiar with objectivism. And if someone said a big O objectivist versus a little O objectivist to me, I'd kind of guess what they meant, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not effective communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they, you know, they might think it's sad because they're randroids or whatever. And I'm not saying all objectivists are, but I'm saying somebody might think, well, it's
what
sad
is a
that,
randroid?
Well,
I mean,
there
it's
you go.
Like, you know,
somebody might think that, oh, it's sad that this person doesn't know what objectivism with a capital O really means. And it might be sad to them, but if they want to communicate, they should either choose a new term or explain to me before continuing the conversation so we're both on the same page.
Yeah, and I also think that if you're having a one-on-one conversation with someone and you don't understand a term that you used, it's perfect. You're perfectly within your rights to say, oh, hold on a second. Can you define what you mean by blah, blah, blah?
I would say better than understand. Within your rights, I would say, or in addition to within your rights, I'd say a
that's
good communicator.
That's an active part of the
yes.
Yeah, the conversation, right. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. All right. Are we exhausted?
Whew.
I need a nap.
What do you mean by nap?
Non-aggression principle. You know, this is actually a funny story that reminds me of this. I remember several years ago, I wrote an article and my email address was linked to it. And somebody emailed me through that article and was asking me about myself and my philosophy of liberty and said, okay, well, I basically consider myself a Zap libertarian. And I was like, a Zap libertarian? What does that mean? I know what libertarian means. Zap, I have no idea. And so I like, this was kind of, I think, before the time of Wikipedia.
Wow.
And so I was, like, struggling to find, I was like, what the hell is Zap? So I wrote back and I was like,
you got me.
Well, I call myself a libertarian too, but what does Zap mean? And then the person wrote back and said, zero aggression principle.
Right.
And I was like, well, I know the non-aggression principle. Would that be a nap libertarian? I mean, it gets a little ridiculous at some points, but basically that person was using Zap libertarian to say I'm an anarchist without saying I'm an anarchist.
Right. And it's, and
so
here's
it's
another,
the same exact thing.
And here's another term thing, nap versus Zap. They both mean exactly the same thing. No aggression or zero aggression.
That,
but
that
people choose
probably,
different terms.
That person probably thought they meant different because zero aggression is different than non-aggression because non is kind of not as steadfast or not as hardcore as zero. I think that's what that person thought. Yeah.
Wow, I can't even fathom that because non and zero mean the same thing to me.
Yeah, right. I guess they do mean the same thing, but yeah.
We're going to end this episode, and by end, I mean finish, and by finish, I mean complete.
And can you just define what you mean by...
by. It depends on what the...
meaning
the,
of is.
You beat me to it.
Was he trying to justify his BJ with that?
Yes, he was, but I think it was... I didn't listen to it and don't really care, but I think it was an actual legal argument, which tells you the validity of a law.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, if you want to leave us a pathetic reply to this episode and let you know how how ridiculous it was that we were arguing in circles about words, even though words have meaning, you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com, or heck, I guess you could leave a comment on our blog, right?
Thank you.
Porktherapy.com, porktherapy.com, right?
Yep, or you could call us.
Yes, and what number could they call us at?
Area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Now, what do you mean by call? There could be many, many different...
I mean, they should put their hand next to their mouth and shout loudly like Tarzan.
I don't know if that's going to work, Mike, but they can try anyway. Feel free to try and take a video.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. This has been Pork Therapy. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave? You can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.